What up, world? It's your boy E letting you know we are now proud members of the Visionaries Global Media family. That's right, catch us Wednesdays on Visionaries Global Media.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
This is Nattering with E with your host, Eric Friedlander.
This is Frigid A with Eric and SJ. What up, world? It's Frigid A, episode 7 and number 49 overall on Nattering with E. As always, I'm joined by SJ for Frigid A, and today we have brought on the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Asian Joe, now of the Mark Order podcast. But if you listened to us previously, we had a short-lived run as the Goog Gang, featuring Joe, SJ, myself, and Gina, Mrs. Money from the Wizards Discord / the internet. That was a lot of fun. And now Joe has returned. So we are going to talk to Joe about his avid love of cereal, some wrestling, of course, and music. So,
Joe,
SJ,
Joe.
Exactly. Joe.
By the way, Joe, thanks for joining the show, even though you think I would kill you.
You know, I feel like you have a character online, so I want to like continue to like promote that. You know, SJ is not someone to mess with online, but no,
it's
thank
okay.
You guys.
I love it. It's okay. I love it. I just have to throw that in there.
Oh, I'm glad to be back with you guys.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. We're glad to that even though SJ wanted to kill everyone, she is not as vicious as your other Joe, Samoa Joe of AEW fame.
Well, if SJ is gonna kill anyone, it's gonna be killed with kindness, if anything. Like,
absolutely,
very kind.
That would be a great.
Oh yeah, 100%. Once you get on my bad side, we're good.
Yeah, that'd be a great finisher. Kill him with kindness.
Compliment them.
Just compliment them.
Just compliment until they die. yeah
crazy.
Oh man, yeah.
So
all right,
SJ, what's going on? That'll how's things
cool. Oh, so far so good. I'm just enjoying the weekend off. I just finished watching some GCW this morning, and after this I'll probably start watching WrestleMania later. I took a bit of a hike today. Other than that, it's been going a pretty good weekend. Yeah, how about you guys?
Joe?
It's been good. This week is always just almost overwhelming with as much wrestling stuff going on, whether it's WrestleMania, whether it's ROH, whether it's AEW, Independence, GCW, Bloodsport. Like, there's just so much stuff that sometimes I feel overwhelmed trying to, like, sensory overload, trying to follow everything and what's going on and seeing everything that's get posted on social media. But it's fun. It's like, you know, our Christmas or a holiday season for wrestling.
Absolutely.
Oh, I hear you there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much, like, even before you even get to WrestleMania, like you said, there's so much going on. Like, I just got an update that ETU out of New Jersey, which is a good independent, is having a showcase today called ETU versus Dragon Gate. They're having Team ETU versus Team Dragon Gate, which is going to be absolutely bonkers. I don't know if you guys follow the indies too much or are familiar with Cruel. He's an MLW. He's a big monster with a mask. Anyways, he is the IWTV champion right now, and he is being challenged by the Octopus himself, Jonathan Gresham. So that match is going to be bananas when it happens, and I'm so excited.
For sure, definitely.
Yeah. So, Joe, I know as much as you love wrestling, you also love food, and in particular cereal. So can you tell us about how you became Cereal Joe, spelt with a C, not with an S?
I do love food. I don't get to be as big as I am without years and decades of practice and preparation of eating food. So, cereal, I think, has always been, as far back as a little kid, had been a part of my life in some way, or whether it's your typical Cheerios when you're a toddler, your parents feed you as a snack, and then you kind of graduate to Honey Nut Cheerios and then Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes, and things just kind of snowball from there as far as unhealthy cereal. And especially, I feel like back in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a lot of cereals that I gravitated to, but they were kind of novelty, like Nintendo Zelda cereal or Super Mario Brothers cereal. So yeah, you kind of evolved from there. And as I've gotten older, I don't eat as much of that anymore, just because my body revolts against it sometimes. So every now and then I have to weave in some healthier options, but occasionally I have a hankering for some sugary goodness. So that's kind of where that passion kind of renewed.
That is so cool. That actually takes me to my first question for you then, because you're talking about how you enjoyed cereal as a kid and everything. I was always wondering, what was your personal favorite cereal growing up as a kid?
Growing up as a kid, probably my personal favorite growing up was probably either Apple Jacks or, Cap'n Crunch. I know people sometimes give it a bad rap for, oh, it tears up the roof of your mouth, and it feels like chewing razor blades. It never seemed to bother me as much. So those were probably my two go-tos early on.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. And what was your, and then I think I was telling Eric to look his up too. What was your favorite cereal growing up?
Growing up, I always loved Sugar Crisp and Lucky Charms. So, basic cereal, basic cereal, sugary options. Now
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm a big Cheerios guy right now. Like I don't really play around with the cereal art, with the dark cereal arts as I wish I could, but yeah.
Yeah, that's like me. Like I like when I was younger, I loved Lucky Charms. Like that was like my go-to cereal all the freaking time. But as I'm getting a little older, I've been noticing I've been enjoying Mini Wheats a little more. But
Yeah.
other than that, but yeah, I know that. Yeah, that. Well, that's cool. I was always curious as to what cereal made you get into loving cereal as a kid and stuff. So yeah, that's awesome. Great.
My question is, Joe, if you were a serial killer, would you be leaving your favorite cereal or least favorite cereals on people's bodies?
I think the easy answer would be Lucky Charms marshmallow, because I feel like they're very colorful and symbolic, and that can be kind of your calling card. Maybe a little horseshoe, because you're like they're unlucky.
Yeah.
That's true. The
Nice.
irony, the irony. I like it.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, that's great. Oh,
Not that
and
I've
then
ever
like
thought
and
about that before.
yeah, I know. I was just thinking that. Oh, hilarious.
Well,
Wow.
when we start, when we were brainstorming about this episode and having you on, Joe, SJ was like, "Oh, we should talk about cereal." And I legitimately thought about like the band Cereal Joe, and I was like, "Ooh, I wonder if Joe's a fan of that band, other than the song Mistake, which everybody knows. Do you know any other songs by that band?"
I don't. I'm not up to date on my cereal band.
It's true.
Well, it was only the one cereal bad, but yeah, even me too. Them being a Canadian group, I think that's like the only song I ever followed. Like I remember owning their album as a kid, but I was just like
I feel like my lack of like I know some Canadian artists, but I feel like there's so many that I don't that go under the radar. So I mean, I should probably branch out beyond listening to Snow.
Informer. That's great.
I used to like that song, Everybody Wants to Be Like You.
Yeah.
What was that other song? Legal, Tender and Fine.
And there was Everybody Wants to Be Like You. There was Joke Thing. There was Informer. There was what the hell was that other one? She's my favorite. No, sorry, I'm thinking something else. I can't remember. But yeah, I'm a big snow fan too. I don't like having snow, and I don't like the season snow, but you know, I'm a big fan of the singer snow.
It's interesting you don't like the season snow, as Winnipeg is also known as Winterpeg here, and even in the summertime it is snow.
Don't get me started on snow. I'm just glad it's fucking gone.
Yeah.
Oh well. But anyway, well, moving on to the questions. Like I said, I did have a few different questions about cereal that I was curious about. Another thing I was wondering too is you know how cereal has different kinds of characters that promote their cereal and brands and stuff. Which was your favorite character that promoted the best cereal? Or what's your
All
favorite
right.
cereal character?
All right. So we're talking mascots now. We're talking like
Yes.
Tony
Good
the
old
Tiger or
mascot.
the Leprechaun from Lucky Charms or Snap, Crackle, and Pop or the Teddy Bear from Sugar Crisp.
Yeah.
Let me think. I'm trying to think of like the one that are you talking about, the one that's my favorite, the one that like was the most effective of selling their cereal to me.
Mostly your favorite one.
Maybe the Trix Rabbit. I felt kind of bad for him.
How
I empathized.
come?
I felt like he got bullied. Like he
Yeah,
just
that's
wants to be a
true,
part of the
yeah.
group and enjoy a bowl of Trix cereal and the little snot-nosed kids like take the cereal from him and like silly rabbit. I was like, come on.
Our kids,
What
like,
did the
no.
rabbit ever do to you? So
Yeah.
maybe the rabbit from Trix.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. That is so cool. And then on to you, Eric, too. What one was your favorite character growing up as a kid? The mascots.
There's a couple. Tony the Tiger for sure. It's great.
Nice.
Pecan Sam.
Yeah, Toucan Sam, yeah. Toucan Sam, yeah.
Yeah, I like that guy too. I also like the three elves for Snap, Crackle, and Pop, Kellogg's Rice Krispies. So.
Yeah, they're awesome. You know what? I always got mixed up with those two and those three elves that do cookies. What the hell is that company's name?
Keebler.
Yeah, Keebler, yeah, I always got mixed up between those two all the time growing up.
They're
I
probably all the
always
same
thought it was
thing.
the same. Yeah, pretty well. Yeah, I thought it was like the same characters on both. I was like, holy crap, no, they're different. I didn't know that. That's funny. And then yeah, for mine, I would have to go with the obvious Count Chocula. Come on now.
Oh
He's a
yeah.
vampire. He loves chocolate. Two of my
Yeah.
favorite things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
He
that was
he's not around
mine.
enough for me. Like he's seasonal, so he's going around for a few months.
Oh, I know. You should see how much I stock up on that shit around Halloween. I have cupboards full.
You not care about like Frankenberry or Booberry or
Oh yeah, I love them too. They're probably my number two and three. But yeah, but no, Count Chocula is definitely my guy. I was actually looking up, while I was doing notes and stuff for the show, I was actually looking at this site called whiteclouds.com, and they actually have the top 10 cereal mascots. There was Tony the Tiger was number one, Toucan Sam two, Snap, Crackle, and Pop three, Captain Crunch was number four, and the Trix Rabbit was number five, Lucky was number six. And my Count Chocula was seven, Sugar Bear was eight, Frankenberry nine, and Booberry 10. I just thought I'd share that countdown with you guys that I came across. I
that's
thought
amazing. We nailed them.
it was, yeah, exactly right. We pretty much got all the top ones there. Yeah, for sure. And then moving on as well, I was also wondering too, I know you've been doing a lot of blogs on cereal and all that. What was the worst cereal you've ever tried?
Ooh, the worst cereal I tried.
That you're just like, look, never again.
Yeah. Probably, I didn't review it based on principle, but it's probably the Peeps cereal. And maybe it's unfair. Yeah. Maybe it's an unfair thing because I have a bias of not liking Peeps, like just the regular Peeps marshmallows. So maybe I think, you know, I had this preconceived prejudice against the cereal that I wasn't going to like it. But yeah, I was one of them. And then the other one might have been the very first one I did for the blog, which was the Sour Patch Kids.
That was different.
Yeah, I think that one was a, you know, eat one bowl for the cereal review and call it good.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome.
I remember you saying before that some of the cereals that you've reviewed / received, you've re-gifted to pals with kids. Is that still a thing or not anymore?
Not as much anymore. It's harder now because so much of my work office is hybrid or remote working since the pandemic. So we don't have as many people in the office anymore. So I can't just put it out on the free table for people to get. But sometimes I'll try to set up something where I can just give it to someone else if I don't finish it, so I don't waste it.
Nice. Now that you've joined the Mark Order, do you see a Mark Order cereal coming at any point?
I don't know. What would the flavor be?
I mean, Ryan's saying Creed, so I'm saying it could be anything at this point.
You'll have like these little chocolate microphones in the cereal. That would be cute. That would be awesome. And then moving on like to the questions. Another one I was wondering, I just asked you your worst. What was your favorite you ever did and went on?
Try to remember. I think one of my favorites, I don't know if I even reviewed it, but the sugar cookie toast crunch. No, just the seasonal variety for cinnamon toast crunch during the holiday seasons. That might be one of my favorite cereals I came across as I started eating more of these novelty cereals again. I really enjoyed that, and I recommended it to a couple of coworkers of mine who actually, you know, we're in their 50s and they liked it. So I'm like, you know, it spans all ages.
Nice. That's awesome. That is so cool. And then I just had a couple more. So if you can just live on cereal for the rest of your life, would you?
You'd have to have a variety of, like, it would be a heavy dose of probably Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios, maybe an occasional fruity type cereal. I don't think I could. I don't think you can't do enough with it. It's pretty much eat it dry or eat it with milk. I mean, it's not like pizza where you can like make pizza 20 different ways. Cereal is going to be cereal, whether you want to be chocolate based or fruit based. But no, I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess not, right? I was just curious, though. Actually, speaking of, like, eating cereal dry, a couple of my coworkers at work, they actually have, like, a box of Fruit Loops in their locker, and they, like, take cups of it, like, and just snack on it while they're sitting at their desk. It's so funny.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. It was funny. It was great.
There was, in the craft beer industry up here, there's a lot of bloggers, and so one year, a couple years back, I want to say 2016, one of the like major names in craft beer up here, I think his name was Chris Shire. I might be wrong on the last name. Anyways, he gave up food for Lent and only drank beer. So darker like porters and stouts for his main courses. And then he'd have lighter beers to like complement them or like the throughout the day. So he tried doing it for a week. For 40 days, but I don't know how far he got. Like I stopped following him after a while.
I feel like you can't go 40 days without food.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because he said he was working with a brewery at the time that was, they were somehow including a protein in one of the like stouts that he was drinking. I was like, still, I don't know. It would, like, his liver must have been so screwed by the end of the first week, I would think.
Yeah, probably. And then I just have one more last question. Like, so what cereal will you be reviewing for us next, and when will we be expecting that?
Good question, because your guess is as good as mine right now. You know what I'm running into is that I haven't come across a lot of wild cereals that when I go to the store, I walk in the aisle, I look, and nothing's jumping out to me as like, that's really strange, or no, that'd be a good, interesting review. A lot of it's just kind of the same cereal, but maybe with a different flavor. Like, you're taking taking a Lucky Charms, like, oh, well, now we threw marshmallows, or we threw, a different piece of cereal with it, or, taking Twix Trix. Yeah. I was eating Twix earlier. Now I'm getting confused. but adding just not a lot of like crazy novelty cereals yet. So I don't know. If you see anything up in Canada, let me know, because
definitely.
I need something. Like the Tim Hortons cereal is good. So
I think there's a couple other ones we have. There's like an apple fritter one I think we had, and I think what was the Timbits one I sent you, right?
What's that?
Was it the Timbits one I sent you, or yes, I can't even remember? Yep, because there was one that was apple fritter. I'll definitely keep an eye out for you. Like, I usually send you, I always send you pictures of the cereals I see. Hey, did you review this one yet?
Yeah, I had some other friends up in Canada. Like, oh yeah, like you're so different compared to what you guys get down there compared to up in Canada. And I'm like, I had no idea it was that different.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing how much difference we have up here from down there, or you guys have down there. Yeah, it's crazy.
So I think if I can't find anything immediately, I need to work on a homework assignment that my Mark Order podcast co-host Ryan gave me, as far as trying to correlate wrestlers to cereal. So what kind of cereal would be if you looked at Eddie Kingston, like what cereal would he be? Like, when you're taking like his personality, his style, like trying to match people with a cereal representation. So I might try to do that with, a handful of AEW wrestlers to start with, just because it'll be easier to start at least 10 wrestlers or something.
Nice.
Yeah, I feel like Dan Housen. Awesome. I feel like Dan Housen should be Count Chocula.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that would be awesome.
I feel like that just goes hand in hand.
It totally does. That's funny you say that, because I think I sent that as a question of dishonor one time. I think I sent that to Tom and Will one time, asking them what wrestler you think would be good on the cereal and what brands. That's good you're putting that together. I can't wait to hear it or see it. That's awesome.
Yeah, that'll be great. I think for Eddie Kingston though, he'll be eating a lot of Sour Patch cereal, given he's lost a couple titles recently. So shout out to Mark Briscoe for finally getting it done and winning the big one in ROH.
Oh my god. Yeah, that made me cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was our cereal aspect. So let's move on to everything else. So what is it you want to talk to him about, Eric?
The birds and the bees, Joe.
Well, Eric, when one person loves another person and they want to show their love in various forms.
They make them watch Bret Hart and FTR matches, unless it's me.
I mean, whatever works for people.
Whatever floats your boat.
Whatever floats your boat. That's right.
Whatever floats your boat.
So as we're recording this will go up on probably, I'm going to say tomorrow. I'll put it up tomorrow. But so tonight is night one of WrestleMania. And my question is, while we have all these main matches, what's your thought on the fact that the last few years they've been putting the Battle Royal, at least for the men, on the SmackDown Go-Home show? Do you think it... Since WrestleMania is now 2 days and like 12 hours each, they should have enough time to do the Battle Royals, right? Or is a Battle Royal even necessary given you have the Royal Rumble in January?
Well, I get why they put it on the go home SmackDown, because otherwise that SmackDown is usually pretty dry, because it's a lot of recapping and building up to the big show the weekend. So, you want to give the crowd something. I would prefer to have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on even the pre-show, the kickoff for WrestleMania, just so those people get that WrestleMania moment, even if it's the pre-show. I think that would be a more doing more service to them than the SmackDown, even though the SmackDown obviously is well attended because of the crowd, but just giving people that experience to wrestle in such a huge venue like that at WrestleMania, I think would be cool. So I don't have an issue with that as far as getting more people exposed to WrestleMania. My real issue is really just I think you have to have all the titles defended on WrestleMania weekend, which bugs me about the women's tag team titles of not being defended. You have 2 nights of WrestleMania. All the titles should be defended at the biggest show of the year, the biggest show in professional wrestling. So.
I almost feel like if speaking about that is they gave all these like six teams or whatever a chance to fight the Judgment Day for the men's in a ladder match. So why they can't do something similar, I don't know, even a tables match or like escape the cage sort of thing for the women. Like as you said, that every title should be defended. Also for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, is that just bragging rights or like do they get anything out of that? Like in terms of like a title shot or
I don't think there's any stipulation. SJ, do you are you aware of anything? I don't feel like the last couple have done anything with it.
for the sorry, I blanked out there.
The
For the
Omni
Andre the Giant, yeah.
Andre, so you're asking if I, sorry, what was the question? It
That was a hard zone out.
was like I'm just
Oh, no
sorry,
problem, no
guys.
problem. Sorry, so what I was asking was, does the Andre the Giant Battle World lead to anything for the winner? Like, is it just bragging rights, or is it like can they get a title shot somewhere down the road or anything like that?
From what I've seen, it looks like it's mostly like bragging rights because they haven't really done much with anybody when they win that.
Yeah, because to me, I'm thinking that if going off of Joe's idea about how they should run it on the pre-show, the winner of that match should get like an opportunity to like cash in or challenge the champion of his choice, maybe on like the second night of the show, or same with the women, or the second night of the show. So, for instance, going back to the women's tag title situation, let's say someone a tag team member wins the women's battle royal, they should be able to get like a tag team title opportunity the next night on WrestleMania. But what do you
Yeah,
guys think?
that would be fair. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah. Because besides like that actual win, like who cares that that person won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, or just as a fun fact
Yeah.
of trivia. So yeah, that's interesting.
Exactly.
So what matches are you guys looking forward to on WrestleMania?
I think I'm looking forward to the Owens, Orton, and Logan Paul match because I can't wait to see Logan Paul get his ass kicked. Like I've seen some clips from SmackDown this past week. I'm like, oh, he's not going to survive that match. Like 100% not going to survive that match. Yeah, that's the one I'm looking forward to. What about you guys?
I think Logan Paul retains that wins and retains.
Yeah,
But
that's true.
the obvious match is the Cody match, right? The Cody Reigns, because like we want some kind of finish to his story, whatever story. Just give us some kind of closure after delaying it another year. Other than that, I think the Becky and Rhea match has the potential to be really good. I think that's supposed to open the show tonight. Looking really forward to that. And then maybe looking forward to seeing how Jade Cargill does in her, you know, real in-ring, almost real kind of like in-ring debut finally.
Yeah, I'm so glad they're finally giving her a shot. Like, she, like, they just kind of, like, they kind of just been, like, keeping her on the shelf kind of thing, you know? Like, just, like, not really doing much with her. So I'm glad they're giving her an opportunity now. Like, it was great to see her and Naomi and Bianca together. Like, that's just a freaking power trio right there.
Yeah.
What about you, Eric?
For me, I'm just looking at the cards right now. I think Gunther versus Sami Zayn is going to be nuts. Jay versus Jimmy in the Uso match, I think, is going to be, like, the winner of that needs to be, like, whoever comes out of Brock versus Cody's next challenger. So, like, if Jimmy somehow upsets Jay, then Cody's next feud should be with Jimmy. And then vice versa, if Jay wins, he should challenge Cody or even the Rock. I mean Roman Reigns. So that'll be good. I'm also looking forward to like Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Like I think McIntyre's work the last like 3-4 months has been absolutely phenomenal. Like he's. If he does end up re-signing with them, he's the next champion to me. Like he needs to win a belt. He's just the perfect like heel and he's already planted the seeds with Punk, who automatically comes into WWE, bashes AEW, and says, "Oh, once I'm healthy, I'm next in line for a title shot." I mean, we've always known CM Punk as like being out there, but to me he comes off now more as the Punk side of his personality. Like what a punk, picking all these spots and things like that. But I think like Punk getting Drew McIntyre as opposed to Seth Rollins writes itself, but then he and Rollins' actual feud when it eventually happens will be good too. LA Knight versus AJ Styles, after seeing what they did at the Mania press conference, I'm actually invested in now. Before I was like, oh, just another match.
I'm with you on the Drew McIntyre. I think I don't know if you put, I mean, whether or not you put a belt on him tonight or not, or when they, tomorrow night. He needs to either have the belt or be wrestling for the belt by Clash at the Castle, since it's going to be in Glasgow. I'm like, it just seems to make sense to put the belt on him or have him at least be in that match on that show.
Yeah.
Now, let me throw this out to you guys. Say, for instance, if either Seth retains or Cody beats Roman, and then tomorrow night, I mean, and then Monday night on Raw, Priest cashes in and becomes the new champion. If he does it against Cody, do you think that'll mean less that he finally got over the hump because he only held it for a day? Or do you think, like, we're good, like, we'll be invested with Cody chasing after him for the title again?
Maybe they'll keep the story going. Like, you know, they're obviously keep on postponing his story, so maybe they're going to keep it going.
Yeah, sure.
I kind of fancy booked in my head before that maybe either Seth somehow survives Drew McIntyre after being dog tired from, you know, the match tonight, Saturday night, and then another match Sunday, and then after he wins and he's, you know, beaten up and barely able to stand, back when Damian could cash in. Or if Drew wins, you could have maybe a Punk distraction or interference or some kind of, you know, distract McIntyre from the Priest comes in and lays him out. But I would like if Priest could cash in on Sunday night. I don't want him to cash in on Cody. I want Cody to have a little run with the belt to give us a payoff.
Yeah.
I kind of want him to cash in on Logan Paul or even Gunther. Priest versus Gunther, I think, would be an
Ooh.
insane matchup.
That would be really good, actually.
What do you guys think of Io Sky versus Bayley? What are your thoughts there?
I don't think that match is getting enough build. Like, I feel like they're trying to do it lately, like in the last couple of episodes of Raw and SmackDown, they're doing more video packages and some backstage segments, but I don't feel like it's getting hyped up enough for what the match is. And I want Bayley to win, and I want, because of the body of work that she's been doing. I think it'll be fun to kind of maybe have this resurgence of her as a face with the title belt.
Yeah. Oh, another match that I forgot to mention is this six pack tag team ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. Do you guys think, okay, so if Priest, so we're in agreement that Priest should cash in at some point on someone, but do you think he should retain with Finn, or do you think he loses to do you think Judgment Day loses the titles tonight in that six pack tag team ladder match, and then he goes on and cashes in on someone.
Well, for the tag team belts, I think we have two different winners, two different teams winning.
Oh, like one grabs one belt, one grabs the other, sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I
So.
think we break off being having unified titles, and I think I don't know who will do it. But I think we finally break those apart, because having so many of these titles be unified seems kind of silly.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure. What do you think, SJ?
I think that makes sense that they'll probably have two separate ones. Maybe they'll try and like break up some of the teams, but yeah, I can see them having two separate ones.
Yeah, I kind of like the obvious choice to win this match, in my opinion, is Awesome Truth, just because of all the work that they've been doing with R-Truth and The Miz, feuding with Judgment Day. But I kind of want to see like A Town Down Under would be an interesting like duo to win that, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Or like, because I think it's too early to put the titles on New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Which also New Catch Republic, awful, awful name. So
There've been worse ones. I mean, there's been the Viking experience.
oh yes, yeah, true. Or Mexi Cools or like was, yeah. Crazy. Oh, I didn't even see that. Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. I thought it was Dragon Lee, but apparently Andrade is in this now.
Yeah, that got, I think Dragon Lee got written off that match during SmackDown.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Do you care about that match, you guys, or not at all?
I mean, I like Andrade. Andrade, I like him, but I mean, like, oh, not really. I don't even care for Dominic either.
Yeah, I think the bigger story will be just Dominic hanging out more with LFI, and if no, Judgment Day loses their tag belts and things like that. If they start losing that hold and on their titles, if that kind of splinters that group finally.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. One match I have, I mean, we'll talk about it just because it's I have these cards in front of us, but Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain. No interest in that at all. I think that Lashley and the Street Profits deserve better. Like they should be doing something way more with their time. And Karrion Kross, I think, has shown that he's a monster on the indies, but he can't turn it over to like a big company. At least not WWE. Like maybe he could be good in TNA or in GCW, for instance, but not a WWE.
Yeah, I'm not overly excited about this match. And for whatever reason, like you said, Cross just hasn't found that connection with the WWE audience for some reason. Like, great talker, does well on the interviews outside of wrestling. Like, he has everything. I don't know what it is that he just has. There's just that, lack of connection with the audience.
Yeah. Did you guys watch Stand and Deliver?
Nope.
I
Okay.
missed it. I saw some of the results, but I didn't miss, I missed the show live.
Yeah, I'm the same. I missed it live. So, one thing that SJ and I, sorry, go ahead.
I'm gonna say the main thing I saw was Julia's here, so that's all that matters, right? Julia's here, and Roxanne Perez is the new title holder, so.
Oh, did Julia debut at Stand and Deliver?
Yeah, they did the old look who's in the crowd, and she was sitting by William Regal, and then that Rossi,
Oh,
the guy
wow.
who used to be her Stardom.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's crazy because she's a star. Like, if you've ever watched Stardom, she was Stardom basically. So to see her now in NXT, and then I think it'll only be a matter of time before she goes to the main roster because she's like to the moon. Another thing that SJ and I absolutely love besides wrestling, cereal and whatnot is music. So Joe, you mentioned before slash. I saw on your Instagram. I don't know, SJ, if you saw this too, but Joe was at the Fall Out Boy concert yesterday.
No, I'm not on Instagram right now. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was long overdue. For whatever reason, I've never gotten around to seeing Fall Out Boy live. Like the 20 some odd years they've been around. It made me feel old to realize that I think it was yesterday might have been the 19th anniversary of Sugar We're Going Down.
Oh,
And I was
nice.
like, oh my gosh, it's been that long. So it was a
Wow.
really good show. They sound great. Maybe my most favorite part about being a show is I was sitting next to this little kid who was probably, 8, 9, and he was with his mom, and he couldn't care less about the opening bands or even Jimmy Eat World who opened. And I'm like, he was strictly there for Fall Out Boy. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, what's your favorite songs? Like, what was your first concert and everything else? And I was really impressed. Like, for an 8-year-old kid or whatever he was, like, I think his first concert they told me was Elton John, which I felt like really out there for a little kid. And then like Ed Sheeran and then Fall Out
Oh.
Boy. I'm like, oh, well, I'm like, at least you like, relatively good music and not, just random stuff you see on video games or, TikTok videos. Like you have some taste. I appreciate that from a young kid.
Oh, that is so cute. I love that so much. I love Fall Out Boy. I didn't see that. I haven't seen them live yet. But I've been really wanting to, but they barely come through here. I think last time they were here, I did bump into Pete Wentz on the street, and he was just so nice.
He's out there. Like he gives these couple of speeches on stage, and it's just like, okay, that's either some really deep thinking or some really far out there thinking, but whatever it is.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love Pete Wentz. He's so cool, and he was like the nicest guy ever. Like, we just had a good conversation, and he's telling me what he went to check out in Winnipeg so far and everything. It was great. And of
Yeah,
course, like, and then I was like, can I take a photo? Like, just like, because he's like, yeah. So I'm like, okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's
That's
been a
so
while since I've
cool.
been to a big concert at an arena. Like a lot, I go to a lot of shows that aren't necessarily like our big arena shows now. So that was been a while. And then also I forgot how like expensive merchandise was. Like,
oh God.
Like the shirts and everything. Like, first of all, I don't know when like the merch lines got so crazy. Like, I'm used to seeing big merch lines obviously at wrestling events. But like again, even at concerts, I'm like, it's just lines upon lines of people waiting to buy merch. I'm like, I had no idea. Like, I don't remember people being this crazy about merch, you know, 5, 10 years ago. But yeah. So I left paying, you know, like $90 for 2 shirts. So
nice. That's awesome. That is so cool.
So when the kid told you that he didn't like Jimmy Eat World, were you just like, to his mom, gotta send this kid home. It's time for bed.
his mom's like, well, you probably like a couple of their songs. Like, you probably heard them, or like, you know, they're not all streaming and everything else. And I think one of the opening bands was more of a streaming punk band, you know, like a not quite screamo, but loud enough. And he wasn't feeling that. So,
yeah. Nice.
Where did they play in Nebraska?
Here in Omaha, we have our big arena is the CHI Health Center Arena, which is probably like 15,000 to 16,000 people.
Nice.
We have a lot of arenas.
Oh man, that's so cool. I'm just looking at this now. Sorry to interrupt you. So the opening band was Hot Mulligan, who's a band that Bauerhausen and Danny Magic from the Wizards Discord got me into, and like they're so good, man. So that kid needs to listen to all of Hot Mulligan's records and all of Jimmy Eat World's records. And Fall Out Boy, of course. Now I need you to get his contact information so we can have him on the show. Yes, Jay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. So how many concerts, pre-COVID, how many concerts were you seeing? And then now post-COVID, how many have you been to?
I try to go a decent amount of shows. I probably go to a dozen or so shows a year, probably before COVID. And then even now, I think this was my first show of 24, but then I have another one at the end of the month I'm going to. And then I have a couple in May and a couple in the fall. So, you know, it'll probably be about 8 to 12 again this year.
Nice. Who are you seeing end of the month?
End of the month, I'm going taking a road trip out to Denver. And so that'll be my pop emo pop punk show of Bayside, Finch, and Armor for Sleep.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's awesome. Awesome. Okay, so a couple of random questions for you here, / both of you. So for SJ and I, we were toying around a while back with a question that we should ask, because on our joint favorite podcast, ROH Revelry, Tom always asks, do you like olives? And so my question is, do you like mushrooms?
Kind of.
But like, if someone created a mushroom cereal, would you have it or absolutely not? 100% no.
No, that mushroom is psycho. What kind of? No, I like sautéed mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
No, and I can do mushrooms if they're kind of mixed with other stuff. I can't eat just like regular dry like portobello mushrooms or something like that. It's the texture, and I don't know. I don't prefer them, but they're not deal breakers for me.
Fair enough. What are your food deal breakers, I guess, to follow that up?
Well, mostly anything. Things that have lactose in it, because I'm lactose intolerant.
But ice cream is so good.
I know. I take the pills for that, like the little lactate pills.
Me too.
It's Russian roulette if my stomach bends, because like you don't know if they're going to work or not in time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think that comes with age.
It does. But other than that, you know,
I understand.
There's probably some fish or seafood things I don't do. I'm not huge. I don't do big seafood stuff. So
Yeah. SJ, any more questions? Or I got a few random ones, but like go ahead for what you want to ask if you have any.
Okay. So do you have, so Joe, are you like, do you have your credit card ready for when they announce WrestleMania for Minneapolis?
Oh, SJ, I already have a hotel room booked.
Nice. I know, I was looking at them already too. I'm like, fuck, I gotta book this now. So I already booked it too.
I gambled. I'm like, it has to. I'm like, I'm gonna gamble and say it's gonna be the first weekend of April. So like that, you know, like next, whatever it is, probably the fifth or whatever it is, the fifth or seventh or whatever. I'm like, if it's the first weekend of April, I'm just gonna like book it now. And I found a place that you like, you know, book it, be reserved without paying or anything, and then you have until April 3rd of next year to cancel it. I'm like, you know, let's go with this. And then I look back now and I checked the bookings for that hotel, and I think they had one room type available left, and I think prices had gone up, you know, $80 or $100 now. So hopefully
Yeah.
we're both guessing right and we booked smartly.
Right. I know when as soon as I heard that, I'm like, hey, fuck this, I'm booking it. So I just booked the Holiday Inn downtown already. I'm like, it's done.
How far
So
away is it for you?
it's an 8 hour drive.
Okay, so it's like about 5.5, 6 hours for me.
Oh, that's a lot less than me. But yeah, but no, I'm pretty excited. I'm gonna definitely do it all. I'm gonna do the collective. I'm gonna do fucking everything. Bucket list. Bucket list.
I can't. If it's in Minneapolis, like it should be, like I can't not let younger Joe down because, you know, growing up, I always wanted to do WrestleMania. That was like the Super Bowl. So hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah.
But yeah, that's gonna be so much so expensive. Just the hotel
Oh,
and
I know.
tickets
I
and
can
plus
already
everything else,
feel
like all that.
my wallet's already crying. Yeah, like I said, my wallet's already crying. I know my nephew, he's pretty excited. Like, my nephew's gonna go with me. Actually, speaking of my nephew, he's actually doing Cody Rhodes' Nightmare Factory. He's there until June.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're
Yeah.
gonna have him on next week, so that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah, I already told work too. I was like, if Mania ever comes to Toronto or Montreal, like I'm completely booking that time off in advance. And just letting you know, I'm not gonna be here. Like, even if it, because they tried to give me a song and dance about how like you'll have to adjust your vacation time if someone else on the team wants those days too. And I was like, not for wrestling. Just ain't gonna happen.
I mean, you're in Toronto, you have a pretty good shot. Like, you get plenty of stuff up in Toronto.
Yeah, last year I was so disappointed because we had Forbidden Door was here, and that same weekend I had a staff conference, and so out in like the boonies, and so I said to them, I'm like, is this thing optional or is it mandatory? And they're like, eh, it's optional, but like, don't expect to come in on to work on Monday if you don't go. So I was like, all right, fine, but there's all this wrestling. And then they were like, well, too bad, you can't go to it because we have to play Reach for the Top as a team building exercise. I just like I cried in my car after that one.
Nope. Your team building exercise is going to be going to WrestleMania. Let's all go to WrestleMania and enjoy.
Exactly. Well, I said to them, let's buy a box at like friggin' Rogers Center, and like everybody from the staff can come, and we can go. And they're like, not everybody likes wrestling. And I'm like, not everybody wants to spend 3 days in the middle of nowhere with each other
True.
either. So.
So, talking about Toronto and WrestleMania. So that WrestleMania 6 was the first WrestleMania that I really remember being invested in. You know, the Sky Dome, Warrior versus Hogan, both belts on the line. I remember like being so into it. I bought like the copies of the USA Today newspaper because they had the big like poster section of Hogan and Warrior on it. And oh my God, that thing was, I thought that was the biggest match in the world. In hindsight, hindsight, most people are problematic, but you know, at that time, you're like, yeah, you know, that's cool. Warriors, cool. Little did we know. But yeah, that was my first real memorable WrestleMania.
That's amazing. What about you, SJ? What was your first memorable WrestleMania?
I actually tweeted it to the Wizards not long ago. I believe it was WrestleMania 8. I was 9 years old, and then my mom had ordered it for me on pay-per-view, and it was when they had Hogan versus Vicious. And so I had a couple of like kiddie friends come from school to chill and ended up making them like a 2 liter of Kool-Aid. I made a 2 liter of Kool-Aid, and my mom bought us one big bag of chips to share. And there was like four of us. But yeah, that was a fun day. But that was when that's the first I actually remember sitting and watching. Like, my sisters watched all the other ones in the past. But that's when I really sat and watched. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's great. What was my earliest one? You know what? For like most of my childhood, I remember being a WCW guy up until like 97 when like Rock did it. I mean, when Austin, after Austin turned into Austin 316, then I was like all in on WWF. So for me, I would say my earliest memory, the one that sticks out to me, though, I was saying to Joe off air, is I think it's 17 or 18 where they're in Toronto and Rock fights Hogan. Like that's just an iconic moment, you know, for that. There was a couple other good matches on there too. I was looking at that card recently for this thing that they're doing with the Wizards where their pick your favorite WrestleManias for March Madness. I think 17 was there, if I'm not mistaken, as one of the two. That one was pretty good. I'm just looking now at WrestleMania 10, which I've been talking a ton about. I still think that Brett screwed Luger for that. You can listen to a previous episode of Nattering with E where Freedom Wallace from Junction City Wrestling joined me. He's a big Bret Hart guy, and he couldn't believe that I was so anti-Bret Hart. But I was a big Owen Hart guy, too. I was a big Owen Hart guy, though, to be fair. Like, we spoke to Brendan about this last week, SJ and I, but do you think, had, unfortunately, Owen's not with us anymore, but do you think had he stayed with us, the WWE would have pushed him, like, up into that upper echelon, Joe, or what do you think?
Owen? I think he would have, whether or not they would have pushed him or not, he would have found a way to get there. I think he had the charisma and the character work that, you know, Brett lacked a little bit of. Owen was definitely that. Plus, he had the in-ring ability. So, I think Owen could have been easily up to, at the top and been a top guy and been a world champion.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Like, I always saw... I remember when Brett left for WCW and I was a big Sting guy, so I wanted Sting to just squash Brett as soon as Brett came in because Brett stole his move. So there was a whole debate on Twitter like years ago where it was like, are the Sharpshooter and the Scorpion Deathlock the same move? And so people were like, no, Brett leans back a little bit more than Sting. It's like, give me a break. But looking at WrestleMania 10 though, like the match of that, like everybody talks about Owen Brett being the big one there, but like how do you not include Razor versus Shawn as like that for the ladder match for the Undisputed title? Like, oh my god, like that's a star making performance for Razor Ramon, and then he still ended up going to WCW. But yeah, crazy. Yeah. Anyways, before we get out of here, Joe, plug where the people can find you.
Sure, thanks. Well, you can find me on Wednesday nights on the Mark Warrior podcast that follow. It starts right after AEW Dynamite, so you can find us on YouTube. We stream live, or check us out on the podcast platforms. Then also, you can find me sometimes on Saturday night for our Mark Warrior podcast, Collidercast, where we kind of do live watch-alongs to AEW Collision. It's usually myself and my co-host Ryan from the Mark Warrior podcast. And then other than that, you can find me on social media at _AsianJoe. And you can find a link in my bio for the serial review blog I do. So there, that's where I'm at.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
SJ, where can we find you?
I'm usually, you can find me mostly on Twitter/X. I go on there by Carnival of Chaos with a K. I'm there promoting friends' stuff. I'm posting wrestling, horror, cats, man, all kind of random shit. you can find me on there as Carnival of Chaos. That's all I'm on right now.
Fair enough. That's good enough. We also have stickers that you can get from myself or from SJ. Just DM one of us on Twitter. You can reach me at E_Freeds on Twitter and Instagram at Nattering with E. Also, big news for the podcast, generally speaking, we now have an email address. That's right. If you'd like to talk to us about show ideas or coming on, feel free to email us at natteringwithe, all one word, at gmail.com. Also, for music, this is, I think I mentioned this to both of you, but if not, this is also a surprise for you guys. The former co-host of 90s Nostalgia with SJ and I, Mr. Bauerhausen, came to me with the idea to create a Discord called the Cooper K-U-I-P-E-R music group on Discord. Basically, Cooper is like the Cooper belt. Sorry, one second. My Siri decided to join in on the conversation. But basically, the Cooper belt is, I think it's around Pluto or Saturn. And it looks like the shape of a vinyl. And so because Bauerhausen and I are big, big music guys, and we're also kind of selfish in the sense that we want to know everybody else's music so we can add it to our Spotify's or add it to our vinyl lists and so forth. So we were like, hey, let's create a Discord group. So we created the Cooper Music Group that just launched today. Open invite to both of you, open invite to whoever listens. And you can basically just put your music there and talk to us about any of your music tastes. So as we were speaking earlier about Fall Out Boy and Jimmy Eat World and Joe's concerts, and then on many a different episode, we have heard about SJ's great life as a working in the music stores and going to see Godsmack and randomly Metallica, which is probably my favorite of all the stories. Although Simple Plan is SJ's go-to band. But yeah, you can catch us there too. And Joe, it was fantastic having you on, man. Hopefully it won't be another 7-8 months between having you on. And you're always welcome back.
Pleasure. Always happy to chop it up with you both.
Great.
Yes, thanks for being here.
Yep. And as always, stay frigid, and we'll see you next time.